Well, hey, I got an applicable message this morning, and I pray that the Holy Spirit would give us teachable hearts as we hear what the Lord would have to say to us specifically this morning. Do we go to church just to sing a few songs, hear a long speech, give some of our hard-earned money to people we barely even know? If so, what's the point? This is the perspective of many people today. We see evidence of this attitude in the declining church attendance around our nation, even around our world. The churches over in England sat empty this morning, literally empty. Even recently, our own government has deemed the church non-essential. Is that true? Were we? If we cease to be a church today in this community, would people even miss us? Maybe if we had entertained people better. A lot of churches take this approach, believing that if they can entertain people, they'll catch them and bring them in. The problem is, what you catch them with is what you have to keep them with. And the moment they quit entertaining folks, people get up and go to the next church that's doing a little better job at it. Now, of course, the attitude behind that is, let's get them in, and once we capture them, let's help them fall in love with Jesus and the Word. And if they're able to do that successfully, that's awesome. But statistics show us that many churches are not able to do that successfully. There's another perspective that's predominant this morning and throughout our land. Recently, folks have been having church at home. Now, I can relate to this. They found great comfort and enjoyment in doing so. They've even built deeper relationships with their family, and that's a good thing, right? It seems to not a lot of bad things come out of that, having church at home. It seems to be really good. Dick even mentioned last week, he sent me a note during the COVID-19. He says, hey, this is pretty good. And if I don't agree with something that you say, I can just turn you off. Dick, thanks for your note this week and encouragement. I appreciated that. I did. It wasn't a guilt note, was it? Like, it wasn't a guilt note, was it? Yeah. Dick and Shirley are incredible encouragers. I thank the Lord for them. All these perspectives and more would make one wonder if going to church is even necessary these days. What purpose does it serve, they ask. Well, my position, which is the Bible's position, is that church is more necessary than ever. Today I have four reasons why. Why as Christians that we come to church? And the title of this message is, Why Church? So the first reason that the Bible gives us is that going to church is a command. That's one of the reasons we go to church. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. And keep your finger there for just a little bit. Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to be down in verses 23 through 25. Just kind of look up here when you're there. Got a lot of folks there. Okay. Let us read these verses together. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Remember, we looked at this verse a couple weeks ago. To consider means to look at in person, to look at somebody and validate them. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Does anyone recall our English word, or how we got our English word for sin? We've taught on that here. If you don't remember, that's okay. I I forget a lot of things. It's an old archery word meaning to miss the mark. When someone would shoot at a target and miss the bullseye, an official down by the target would yell out the word sin, meaning they missed the target. That's where we get our word sin from. Indicating that they had missed. And so when we see in verse 25, look at verse 25 in your scripture. Not forsaking the assembling. We see the target of God's heart. We see His will. It's His perfect will. And when we miss this target, technically we can say we've sinned because we've missed the target of God's perfect will. Now, I'm not trying to shame anyone for missing church. We all miss church. And I'm talking about a perpetual mindset that says, I don't need to go to church anymore. I can miss a month or a couple months. It's going to be the same when I get back. I didn't watch any TV this week or the news specifically about the things that are going on. And when I came back, it was the same. I had not missed anything. It was the same thing going on. A lot of people look at the church that way. I can miss a week. I can miss a month, 2 months. When I go back, it's going to be the same thing. A long speech. They're going to ask for my money. And then I'm going to leave. The Ten Commandments were given to us to bless us. The Ten Commandments were given us so that we might have a fulfilling life in God's kingdom. Likewise, these words of like in verse 25 here in Hebrews 10 gives us these that we might have a fulfilling life. Yeah, we can miss the mark. But when we walk in obedience to God's word, we're hitting the mark, and there's a blessing behind that. In verse 25, we are commanded to not forsake the assembling. There is almost universal consensus among scholars that the Greek phrasing behind these words indicates a public gathering. One may decide for whatever reason that they simply are not going to go to church anymore. Or they decide to take some Sundays off, as I have just mentioned. They perhaps reason that they can have church at home or a bar or a park, at the lake, at the beach. I've heard all these excuses. I have a very close relative that says, hey, you know, nature is my church. Nature is my church. This is where I worship. So they can decide for whatever reason that they're just not going to come to a facility like we have here, where there's the gathering of the saints. But know that in making that decision, they are not in the perfect will of God. If you are truly worshiping the Lord during these times in a bar, at the beach, at a lake, you're singing hymns and you're studying scripture, those are not wasted times. Those are beautiful times of growing in the Lord. But you are not in the perfect will of the Lord. You are not in His perfect position to receive His blessing. It's not the same as going to church. Nor is it the best thing for our spiritual maturity. In all my years in church ministry, I have never, ever seen one person say, I'm just not going to come to church anymore. I'm just going to study the Bible at home. I have not one time seen their life get better. Not once. In fact, most of the times I see them falling away from the Lord. They begin entering into an error doctrinally as they begin creating a God out of their own image instead of being created in His image. Church is the place where we grow in spiritual maturity. We mature as we prove our faith in fellowship and in dealing with the good and the nature and the bad of people, including brothers and sisters in Christ. A lot of us have sharp edges, to say the least, rough edges. We can rub against each other and inadvertently cut one another. We may not smell as good as the next person, and it's hard to come up against them, Maybe they're offensive in just how they talk or maybe look. Maybe they're sitting in your seat this morning. That's my seat. In church is where we grow in spiritual maturity. In church is where we learn how to love each other. To say I love you is so common nowadays. Everybody says I love you. The celebrities, I love you, I love you. They don't even know what love is. To put love into practice is where the rubber meets the road. And church is where we put love into practice. Here's what the Bible says in 1 John 4:20. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? It's so easy to say I love you to a person, but it's a whole different story to have to love them. It's true that you only really know a subject when you are able to demonstrate it. My music teachers, I would try to bluff them. They would say, okay, play it. If you really practice 20 hours this week, like you said, play it. And in 2 seconds, they know that I have not practiced 20 hours because I cannot demonstrate what I said I could do. It's the same with love. We come to church to grow in spiritual maturity. The second reason we go to church is because Jesus is coming back soon. Look at verse 25. And so much the more, this is so much the more gathering, as you see the day approaching. What day is it talking about? It's talking the day about Jesus Christ's return. Let me make the connection for you as to why they're talking about assembling and why it references it to the coming back, the return of the Messiah. You see, we are the bride of the church. In the Jewish tradition of biblical times, after a bride and groom would become betrothed, the groom would go away to prepare a place for his bride. And then he would come back. It would be unannounced. We read this in the scripture, in the parable of the 10 virgins. And so he would go back and prepare the place. In the meantime, the bride is at home. And she's going through beauty treatments, daily beauty treatments. She's getting herself in shape. She's getting her life ready for her groom's return. And then one day, the groom comes back, unannounced. So she has to be ready at any time. And he grabs her and he takes her back to the place where they begin their life, where they consummate the marriage. We are the bride of Christ. Our groom has gone away to prepare a place. We are in the betrothal season where we are preparing ourselves for our groom's return. We come to church for our beautification processes, to make ourselves spotless, to be washed in the Word. Those are all references to the betrothal ceremony and what the bride does as she waits for her groom. So this is why the writer of Hebrews connects the day approaching to his church. We gather, we wash each other in the Word, and we say, oh, our Jesus is coming soon. Are you ready? The day is approaching. The third reason we go to church is to be equipped. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll be in verses 10 through 12. When someone drinks from a water bottle, is it ever a pretty sight? There is no way to make that look nice, is there? Remind me to turn away when I guzzle. Oh, man. So the third reason we go to church is to be equipped. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 10 through 12 reads, He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Equipping is a military term meaning to prepare for battle. But literally, it means to complete, to become perfect. Just as a soldier gets suited up for the fight, he is completed in his war gear and made perfect for war, so are we when we gather together. I like the saying on our doors, as we exit, you are entering the mission field. Has everybody seen those doors as we exit? But we could also accurately write, you are now entering the battlefield, the war zone. This is where the action is. Are you equipped? I realize that we can be equipped in a general sense just about anywhere these days. With the internet, one can be equipped with some great knowledge without ever stepping foot inside a church. But there is a specialized equipping that occurs in the local church setting. When I was suited with my sheriff gear, my vest was suited to me. It was made for me. The gun grip that I carried was suited to my hand, so my hand would fit it perfectly. As well as my gun belt. They didn't just hand me a size 50. I was a lot trimmer in those days. It would probably fit me now. But it was fit for me so that I could go out and protect and serve. And those things would, they were specialized for me so that they would be used in the right way. Much but not all of a large part of our gathering on Sundays is our equipping, is to be equipped. And this equipping comes through the local church gathering, but more specifically, the Sunday messages. The Sunday messages of the local church. And here's what I mean. As I study and prepare for the weekly sermons, I pray and ask the Holy Spirit for a word for us. A specialized word for our church family. Not the church at large, but for our church family. I ask God, what do you want to say to us collectively and personally that fits just us? I ask God, what is your heart for this church this week? How do you want to equip us? He sees what we're going through specifically. He knows the trials and temptations that we each individually in here face and that we will face. He knows the people that we will encounter as well as the difficult circumstances. He wants to equip us to respond to the life and challenges of our specific area here in Fairmount, Oakwood, Sidell, Chrisman, and the general places that we live around here. You see, it's not by accident that we are here this morning in this place. It's not by accident that you live where you live. That you know who you know, that you work with who you work with. God has placed you specifically there for to be a missionary in that part. And he's not just going to say, oh, go be a missionary. He's going to say, I've equipped you specifically for the area that you are living in, working in, playing in. So we come to church and we hear a local message that God has given us that I've prayed, I've sought the Lord's heart for us as a family. God will often put people's faces of this congregation in my mind as I'm preparing. I spend about 20 to 25 hours a week preparing each message that year on Sunday. I'm not writing this on Saturday night. Usually I'm revising it on Saturday night and go, Lord, have I missed any word at all that you would have for our church family? So sometimes I'll get somebody's face in my mind and I'll begin to pray for them. And I'm so excited. I'll know that God has a special word for that person on Sunday. And I just can't wait to get here and share it with them. Amen. And then they don't come. No equipping. No special word from the Lord. They go into their week. God knows full well the things they were about to go through and they're going through. I don't get discouraged because our seats aren't filled. I feel this place in my heart. I'm sad. I'm sad that they didn't come when God had a word for them. And we never know when that's going to be. But when we come to church expecting, God will speak through us in all sorts of ways. And if it's not through the message on that Sunday that I've prepared, it will be another way if you're looking for it. So that's the third reason, a specialized message, a specialized equipping. The fourth reason we gather is because the body is everybody. I know that sounds rhetorical. What is meant is that all of us are the body of Christ. We each have a part to play in the body of Christ and a function, and no part is greater than any other part. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll be in verses 12 through 27. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. He's talking about our physical body here, likening it to the spiritual body of Christ. Verse 15, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. They're necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. I love that passage. We learn that all parts of the body are necessary to be the body of Christ. What would we do without thumbs on our own body or eyelids? What would we do without knees or noses? We'd have problems, wouldn't we? I'm always amazed that babies are born with eyelids, that God put them on there. They can't protect their self, can't even reach their hands up. God gave them little eyelids that would close and protect their eyes. Well, we'd have problems, wouldn't we, if we didn't have some of these things that we have that are seemingly insignificant. When everybody comes to church, we complete the body of Christ. Maybe you're the voice of encouragement one day in the hand of fellowship to a lonely person the next week. Maybe God gives you a word for someone who really needs a word. And by the way, I want to encourage you with this. We're going to maybe talk more about it here in just a second. When you come to church, be looking for a word of encouragement that you can give to somebody else. Begin praying and asking the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, who is it that you want me to give a word of encouragement to this morning? Once we start getting out of ourselves and looking outward, church becomes so exciting. It's not a place just where I can get. It becomes a place, a gathering where we can give. You never know if you actually have a gift of prophecy until you begin to use it. You never know if God has given you a gift of healing or to be the conduit for healing if you don't walk up to somebody and say, can I pray for you this morning? You see, our gifts have to be put into action many times before we even know that we have been equipped by the Holy Spirit with a gift. Come to church expecting to be that hand, to be that feet, to be the thumb, to be the embrace. And you will find church is a lot more exciting than a long speech and they're just there to take my money. I promise you. Now, there are more reasons to come to church that I'm not mentioning this morning. Like worship, sacrifice, to be built up into our faith, to be strengthened and encouraged to make sure that we're not straying into apostasy like I talked about before. When we begin, we're at home and we're not around the church anymore. To make sure that our doctrine is orthodox. We begin straying into weird doctrines of demons, especially in these last days. They begin to influence the way we look at our scripture. And we get away from the teachings and solid orthodoxy of scripture. Look, whenever the doors of the church are open, we should be flooding in. We should be flooding in to get to know Christ deeper. To grow in friendships with others. To grow in love. And then we've got to engage. The church was never intended to be a place of passivity where we just come and get. Church is a place where we come and give. And I want to conclude here today. What are some of the ways we can get the most out of Sundays? Now we gather on Sunday. Some churches gather on Saturdays. We should not expect a rich spiritual experience on Sundays if we're not willing to prepare our hearts and our minds before we come. We need to begin building our week around Sundays and not the other way around. Look at Psalm 24, verses 3 through 5. This is a passage in Psalm that talks about getting the most out of our time with God. Begins in verse 3. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? This is where the presence of the Lord dwells. His manifestation, His glory. Or who may stand in His holy place? We are able to stand in the holy place because of the righteousness of Christ. This verse is talking specifically about that holy place where God dwells, where His manifestation and His Shekinah glory overwhelms us. Verse 4 has the answer to those first two questions. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord. See, this talks about a person who is prepared to meet the Lord. And as he comes in, he will receive, or he or she will receive that blessing from being in the Lord's presence because they have prepared their hearts for meeting the King. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. There is a call that we have a mindset of righteousness before we enter into the King's presence, because we are clothed in Christ's righteousness. But we become aware of that righteousness. We ask forgiveness of our sins. We take out the pollutants of our mind and we prepare our mind to come and meet with the Lord. If you want to ascend to God's holy hill, prepare. A great Sunday begins when? Saturday night. As we prepare our hearts. And I'm going to end with this. What are some practical things that we can do to prepare for Sunday? We can begin preparing Saturday night by going to bed early. Don't raise your hand. How many of us stay up till 1, 2, 3 in the morning? You stay up till 5? Well, you did amazing today. And then they pull themselves out of bed Sunday morning. They have not prepared themselves to meet with the King. Go to bed early Saturday night. Turn off the TV and the video games. Turn them off Saturday night, the night before church. Go to bed early. Better yet, grab a holy book. Grab a righteous book. Begin reading. Filling their mind with holy and righteous things. Take notes during the service. I see many people writing notes. I see others, like I did in college. Oh, I'll remember it. Our teachers were right. Then I want to encourage you to talk about the message after church with your family as you eat. Digest it. I just listed 4 reasons why going to church. Maybe you don't agree with these 4 reasons. Talk about it with your family. Or maybe you do and you can think of more that's important to you while you come. Doing things like those, they refresh the message and they refresh the work of the Holy Spirit, which He has done during the service and the equipping. Get excited to come to church, where we meet as a body of Christ. We are the body. Come here expecting to give, to pray for somebody. Hey, Larry, man, I'm glad you came. The Lord gave me a word for you. He just put you on my heart. And, you know, whatever, He's not doing this. I'm role playing. Yeah, thanks. You guys were waiting to hear that, weren't you? What is it? Says you're to give till it hurts, man. Give till it hurts. Amen. Amen. Now we don't speak of words like that to manipulate people. We pray and we'll, Holy Spirit, give me a word for Shirley this morning. Or who do you want me to hug when this is all over? You know? Yeah, everybody. Maybe. Who can I bless? Those things. When we come with eyes wide open, churches become an exciting place. Old and young alike. Let's pray.